All right, everybody, who's ready for another RGH where half the cast isn't here?
What's your math like up there in Canada?
See, look at this. See how scuffed it is? I don't even have it on the right screen. This is the scuffed setup right here. The two man. We got MTH, we got True Vanguard, the best two cast members. You'll actually be able to hear some legitimate discussion, which is exciting. Kakis is in Italy. If you guys are wondering, he's with his wife in Italy.
Yeah, their picture's looking great, too. Making me a little jealous.
It looks so good. Like, I knew Italy was beautiful. But if Italy can look that beautiful with that ugly bearded idiot...
With Kakis in the picture,
right? That's what I'm talking about. Because he's going to bring down the value of every photo by quite a large margin. And it still looks that good. Sheesh. That's
Sign
nice.
Sign me up, man. Sign me up.
So today we're going to be talking about Elden Ring, some Destiny stuff. We're going to talk about Metroid. We're going to talk about PS5 for a little bit. We're going to talk about Facebook a little tiny bit, and then Twitch for like 2 seconds. And then maybe some other things that pop up, like anime. Yeah. We'll see.
We got like there was a lot of like small news this week. So it's like we can hit a bunch of rapid fire stuff, you know?
I'm actually excited for next week because Darkest Dungeon 2 is coming out, and I can't wait to talk about Darkest Dungeon 2. I think it releases on the 27th, though, so I don't know if I'll have a chance to play it yet, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited.
This seems like it's totally your vibe, too.
Oh, yeah. Loved the first one. Absolute masterpiece. Tough. Very tough, but great game. If it ever goes on sale, try out Darkest Dungeon. I would love that. So today, let's start off with the Elden Ring. If you don't know what Elden Ring is... Maybe you've been living under a rock. Maybe you're not into the Souls genre. But Elden Ring is a Souls-like game, a little bit more open world, maybe closer to something like Ghost of Tsushima. People don't really know yet because there's a limited amount of gameplay. I think there was a leak where a character walks and jumps. And it's like, okay, there we go. Amazing.
Top of Reddit gaming threads and stuff,
But Elden Ring is rumored to be the pinnacle of Souls-like games. So if you want tough mechanical bosses, if you want to struggle but feel achieved while playing, Elden Ring might be it. Adding it in like that exploration, you know?
Yeah, it looks like it doesn't quite have that like dark weight, that gothic dark weight of a Souls game. It's more... It seems a little bit more on the fantasy side.
Yeah, there's like some kind of mythical looking creatures that I saw, just some screenshots, almost like I think I saw some like ent tree type enemies like and stuff like that. So that's exciting for me. And like, I love Souls games. Like, Elden Ring is my baby. I can't wait for it to launch. But I also really want to jump back into Destiny. And Elden Ring is like 3 days after. They just delayed it to February 25th. So 3 days after Destiny's new Witch Queen expansion, all that stuff comes out, which is tough. That is a tough spot to put it in. And I mean, the thing with Elden Ring is you can always come back and play it later. Like, you can play a Souls game whenever. It's not like it's time gated content.
It's not time sensitive. You're not going to like get behind the community or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. So it's probably going to get the Far Cry treatment for me. Like, Far Cry 6 came out, and I installed it. I haven't played it yet. Hopefully this weekend, maybe I'll dive into it and get that up and running. But it's one of those things that's like, I'm looking forward to it, but it's just going to sit there for a little bit until I get the time to get to it. So with Destiny, Witch Queen launching that same week, there's just no way, someone like me whose channel thrives off of Destiny and that's what feeds my kids. There's no way I'm going to get to it that week, but
yeah, and that's fair.
Week or two after,
that's fair. And it's one of those games that, for me, I've also waited for so long that I can also wait a little bit longer. Probably.
That's right.
My only issue is I don't want any spoilers. I don't want to know anything about the game. I just want to get lost in it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I just wish it was releasing when it was releasing, because there's no other games that I really wanted to play right now.
It was a great window, yeah.
But if they need some polish or whatever the hell it is, go for it. But I got a question.
Always. Yeah, go ahead.
What are the chances Destiny gets pushed back a month or two, too?
Man, I don't...
Every game has got delayed. Like, name a game that hasn't got delayed recently.
I think there's a chance... Well, I mean... Destiny already did get delayed, you know what I mean? So it's not like it skirted around that. It's definitely had its fair share. Like, this season is already going to be really long, as it is. So I think they're going to try and stick to that date. I'd be surprised if they moved it back. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't know. It might be more feasible if things start to get, you know, crunch time and they're, like, worried. They've got a lot of people at that studio that aren't working on Destiny. I wonder if they could divvy up the workload a little bit. I don't even know at that stage of the development if that's even possible.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know if these people would have any value if they're not already involved in the project at that point or not. But anyways, they've got a huge studio there and a lot of them aren't working on Destiny. I feel like Destiny Witch Queen has to be top priority for them because Destiny's their cash cow right now. They're making so much bank off of Destiny. I think they got to get that out.
Well, and they're about to make more off Destiny because, well, they just announced that now they're charging for the seasons, or you have to get the deluxe edition instead of the standard. So I guess how it works, if you want the dungeons and that content that comes out, you have to buy the standard edition, but you have to buy the seasons on top of it. But you actually pay, I think you were saying you pay more if you do it that way.
So you do everything a la carte, you're going to end up paying more. So here's how it's shaken down right now, right? You got the Witch Queen DLC. You know, you get $40 there. Then you've got the season pass. You know, you want to have access to the seasons next year. You're going to pay another $40. So you're looking at $80. But then, now they say, oh, the dungeons are going to be their own, like, separate thing. And we're going to charge for those. But if you buy the deluxe edition, it's already in that. So the deluxe edition is $80. So if you buy the deluxe edition, you pay $80, you get your $40 DLC, you get for your $40 season passes, and then you've got the dungeons are basically for free, I guess, kind of wrapped up in that cost. If you spend the big $80 up front, you get everything. But if you buy everything a la carte, we don't know what they're going to charge. What are they going to charge for the dungeons? $10? $15? I don't know. So you're looking at 40. If you buy everything separately, you spend $40 on the DLC, $40 on your season's pass, and then you got to pay for the dungeons on top of that. So the dungeons then, you know, you could be looking at $100 to maybe $120 total, as opposed to the $80 total up front. So that's what people are upset about, because they didn't know that ahead of time. They didn't say that when they told us the dungeons were part of the content that we would be seeing next year. Up front. So that's, the community's been pretty divided over this one.
Well, and last episode, we're talking about the Destiny content vault, and people were kind of mad about that. And so now people are like, oh, so you want to charge me more for these extra dungeons that you're making that you're going to take away from me down the road. I don't know when, but you're going to take it away from me. And so now people are a little bit more hesitant, I think, period, to spend money. But now it's like, oh, you want me to spend even more money and there's the risk of it getting taken away? So I understand consumers being wary. Now, for the amount of time you get to play Destiny, and if the content is good, like, think, just close your eyes for a second. Just picture this. If you are a Destiny fan, or maybe you quit but you played in the past, think of the best moment, right? Think of Forsaken. And you're grinding for the first couple months. Think back to Taken King, whenever it was for you that you had the most fun. If Witch Queen is that, if it is that good, and the raids and the dungeons that are coming are that good, is it worth $120 of your money for potentially 50, 60, 70, 80, 300 hours? Like, the thing is with Destiny content, you can get some pretty insane value out of that and gameplay. There's so many games that I've played where I put in, you know, 20 to 30 hours and I feel satisfied, happy with my purchase. Darkest Dungeon. I think I've put 33 hours in Darkest Dungeon, which is, you know, maybe short for some people, long for some people. But, like, I paid for that product. I grinded it. I beat it. I feel really happy. Destiny, I've got 4,000 hours. Are they all the most meaningful hours? Maybe not. But, I mean, that's a lot of entertainment value per dollar spent. Yeah. And the fact that they're bringing multiple dungeons and raid-type content, that is the best Destiny content.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to get more than we've seen in, 3 years? When was Forsaken? 2018? That was the last time we saw a raid every, like, 3 or 4 months. They're doing that again. And, you know, that's a lot of content to make. They've hired a shitload of people. It's tough. It's like, do you have to pay more for the better content? I don't know.
When it comes down to it for me, this to me is not an issue of they're trying to nickel and dime us. I know that's the way that a lot of people perceive it. And unfortunately, that's the way that this is really unfortunate, honestly. The news about Destiny that always goes viral is bad news. So everyone who's not a Destiny player, all the stuff that they seem to hear over the airwaves about Destiny, the stuff that makes the big news, this was the top trending thing on Twitter gaming this week. So if you don't know Destiny, all you know is the bad stuff, because this is the stuff that gets pushed up there in front of you, but which is unfortunate. Here's the reality for me. Is this content going to be worth charging for? Is it worth money? I absolutely think it's completely fair and reasonable for a developer who is spending time making end game at like incredible new spaces, experiences, encounters, loot, all of that stuff. I think that's completely justifiable. Here's my issue. I don't like this model. This model is just getting increasingly more and more complex. And it feels like the more or the less tuned in to Destiny news you are, the more you're going to get charged.
Right.
Because they're not following all the news. If you're just a casual Destiny gamer, like, is there going to be a pop-up that makes it explicitly clear, hey, this is how everything looks? You know what I'm saying?
Wait, just quickly. I'm pulling a cactus here. We even just said that about last episode with the Forsaken going free. It's like, if you're not tuned in, you're about to pay for Forsaken when it's going free. Right?
Yeah.
But, sorry.
So, like right now, I've got some buddies that are not Destiny gamers, but they come in every now and then because they know I love it, and they want to play something with me. Maybe it's the Prophecy Dungeon or whatever. It's always the same question. To play this activity, what is it that I have to buy? Because every activity is locked behind some of it's obviously free to play, but most meaningful activities are locked behind some paywall of some kind, and it just gets so confusing. It's all muddled up, it's so segmented. Like, Destiny just has so many my chat box was covered up. You did a poll. Okay, I didn't. Yeah. I was like, what is this, what's going on with my, anyway, sorry to get sidetracked there. But anyways, it's all just so segmented right now. It's just so confusing. It's not consumer friendly at all. And so I don't know what the solution is. A lot of things have been thrown out there. Some people are saying, just go to subscription model. You know, pay $15 a month, whatever it is. Everything that Destiny is doing, you get. Other than Eververse stuff. Other than microtransactions. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's the answer, but people are like, listen, you just got to simplify it, because now it's like we're paying for this and that and this and that and this and that, and it's so confusing at this point.
I mean, at $80 for the deluxe edition, I mean, that seems like a better deal than $15 a month. You know? Like,
yeah.
I'll pay $80 for that amount of content. For me, it makes sense. I understand why people are mad, and I guess the one thing is, I understand when people take your stuff away. Like, I was very against sunsetting in some ways, because it's like people earned that stuff and it's getting taken away. Mm-hmm. But I also understand they're trying to balance the game. But, you know, it is weird that content gets taken away in Destiny, because in many other games it doesn't get taken away. However, I cannot remember the last time I went and did some of the old activities that do go away. You know, they took some raids away, and it's like, well, I wasn't doing them anymore. I already got what I wanted from it. And so for me, as a consumer, I'm at the stage in my Destiny career. Mm-hmm. I need new, or else I'm not playing, period. I need the new dungeons, the new raids, and if I got to pay for it, I enjoy my time on that new content. But I'm not grinding this game or even playing it right now, because I feel like I've beaten everything. I don't have any chase or things that I really care about in the game. And so for me, I'm down to pay that price tag and get a bunch of new raid content and things like that. But I don't know. I can imagine there's a lot of burnt people in the community. I don't blame you. I truly don't blame you. And I also understand that, you know, we've been through a pandemic, and, you know, funds are tight for some people as well. Seeing $80 on a price tag it can get daunting for some people. But
sure.
Think of how many hours of entertainment that is. People are spending, you know, $40, $50 on a dinner, one night of food. And if you budget for it, by the time this comes out in February, I think you can put away $80, and I think you can have a really good, I'm guessing, a good purchase there when it's all said and done.
That's right. I think it'll be worth it. I think a lot of the community, it's just that natural thing about humans. We resist change.
Yeah.
And dungeons, as far as we've ever experienced them in Destiny 2, have always been tied to either a season or a DLC. Shattered Throne was connected to the Forsaken DLC. Pit of Heresy was connected to the Shadowkeep DLC. And then the Season of Arrivals is what had the Prophecy Dungeon in it. So we're just used to it being built into the cost of something else that we're already purchasing, a bigger, broader experience. And so I think it's just people are like, whoa, hey, hold up. No, wait. This isn't how you do this with dungeons. So
question.
Yeah, shoot.
Are they having their cake and eating it too, though, because they know we're going to buy it? They've got Eververse. There's been leaks of how much they make from Eververse, right? If you look at Epic Games, they're 100% free and a bunch of microtransactions. They're making new content every season. Look at Apex Legends. I mean, I don't know when the next content drop is going to be, but they just did the arenas. They did some new characters. Like, I feel like Apex Legends does a lot of awesome free content too. You can pay and DLCs, but like, that's a big AAA shooter, and they're adding new stuff. Maybe not to the degree of Destiny. I get it. Maybe not the PvE stuff, and they don't have to do story. They don't have to write and do quests. I get that. But Path of Exile. I'm going to give you an example. Path of Exile, free to play game. Every 3 to 4 months, new season, new league mechanic, rebalancing of all the classes, all the gear for the most part. They're rebuilding the goddamn end game and changing the end game on Friday. It goes live on Friday. And they are microtransaction funded. And so it's like, there's a lot of games that are free and microtransactions, and they're making a lot of content. And I know that Destiny is too, but like, they're charging for the game and the seasons and microtransactions. And we all know people are, doing the floss with their guardians. Like, people are spending money in game.
I want to know how much money they made on the dinosaur armor sets.
Dude, every single person I saw posted that they bought all of them, or they bought one of them, or like, tons. I don't know. Seems like it's like they're double dipping on people. And so maybe that's why people feel mad. And I have this weird thing. Chat, let me know. Maybe I'm completely off here. I swore that there was a dev post, or it was in one of the discussions, like during one of their reveals, where they were saying the Eververse is going to fund things like these dungeons. And I can't remember where I saw that or why I have that in the back of my head. But I'm like, okay.
So they, like, maybe it is a bit. Time when they were able to do, I don't know if it was 0 hour or if it was the
yes, that's what it was. Quest. That's what it was. It was one of the secret quests.
It was a retroactive thing. It wasn't like a going forward thing. It was just so you know, we were able to do that because of this, of the sales we made in Eververse, back then. So they were able to point to sales they made previously and how it funded a different project. But as far as I know, I don't think they made any promises about that, happening in the future. But I guess it's natural to assume that if they're making money off of Eververse, it's obviously going to go into funding more projects. But who knows? Maybe it's not even going into funding Destiny at this point. Maybe. I know that I don't actually believe this, but I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe they're finding more ways to monetize good Destiny content, which is completely fair and reasonable, because they want to fund other projects.
Probably. They're cash cow.
Not Destiny stuff.
Dude, the Destiny community will pay it. They're addicts. They are addicts. I haven't even played for a year, and I'm like, give me that deluxe, baby.
That's right.
I miss it. I really do. And when those dungeons and raids pop off, even if people are bitter and they're like, I'm not paying it, they're going to see the new gear. They're going to see some screenshots, and they're going to go, all right, I guess I'm getting the deluxe edition.
Here's my take my money.
And some silver, because I got to look good when I return. But
that's right.
I don't know. For me, like, if the devs are working on the game, continuing to make good progress and good changes and put out the content, you also have to support people to do what they're doing. Like, we wouldn't exist if people didn't watch our content or donate or sub on our channels. And there were times in my career, I mean, I asked for money on Patreon because I got demonetized on YouTube. If my, you know, audience didn't come together, I would have quit. I would have been done. And so it's like, if you believe in something or you love something or you want more of it, and people wanted more of me for some reason, I'll send you the nudes when I get the chance. Just don't worry about it.
Why wouldn't they?
But, you know, sometimes people want to put up the money and provide for those devs and like support them. And I feel that way myself. I've put in so many hours. Destiny has changed my life. I'm fine with the price. I've already said that. I just want more Destiny and new Destiny, and it comes with a price tag. And yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's ballooned that much because I don't touch the Eververse. But if it's someone who's like always doing Eververse and then they see it, maybe that tilts them.
Yeah. Very worst case scenario. If you're hesitant about this and you're like, I just don't know if it's going to be worth that price tag for me. Very worst case scenario, you buy everything a la carte. You spend an extra $10 on a dungeon when it comes out. You wait a week, you wait 2 weeks, and you see how the community is responding to it. Do they like the activity? Are they raving about it? What's the armor and weapon sets? What are the encounters like? Which one of your friends are playing it? Wait until you see those factors come into play in real time, and then make the call. And you're going to lose out on some cash because you didn't get the deluxe version up front. But you know what? So 10 months ago, 6 months ago, you didn't spend $80. Big deal. You know? You spend 10 now.
Honestly, one thing though is like, I can also imagine people are a little tilty because look how Beyond Light launched. And I mean, Shadowkeep had a couple issues too. Like, it wasn't the pinnacle of content, but it was still okay. But there was a lot of anger around Beyond Light. Like, I wonder if some of this, it isn't even about the price. It's just like, I don't want to get burned by Destiny. It's like, I can afford the $80, but is the content going to be good? Do you know what I mean? Is like,
right.
Because they are a little shoddy here and there, and people, you know, get angry with it. And I think honestly, a lot of people just want a reason to come back and grind the game and be in love with it. I keep seeing other content creators posting about it, like Chevy and even Glad posted about it the other day. Is like,
yeah,
like I want to play the game. I'm like that. I've said it multiple times, like, I want to love Destiny. I want to feel like I have a reason to play. But a lot of the gear feels reskinned. A lot of the legendary gear doesn't feel interesting to me. And so for me, one of the only things making me want to play is new experiences. When I did Deepstone Crypt, and I'm going through space, and that music kicked in, the Dark Deepstone Lullaby or whatever?
Deepstone Lullaby, yeah.
That was one of my favorite gaming moments ever. I would pay $80 for that gaming moment. Just amazing. Even the Prophecy Dungeon, amazing content. Those are the moments that I live for in Destiny. And the fact that there's five of them or four of them coming, that's a win for me. But I guess we'll see.
Yep.
Let's move on. Are you kind of done with this topic?
Yep.
All right. I think we hammered it pretty good. Metroid Dread devs betrayed.
Of devs getting what they duly deserve.
Yeah.
That's a good transition, I suppose. These two kind of flow in together a little bit here. But, yeah, it's an interesting story that came out this week about how some people who worked on Metroid Dread, which, by the way, is getting incredible reviews. I know I had said several weeks ago, we were talking about this before it ever came out, that I personally wasn't interested in it. It doesn't mean I can't appreciate good work and a good game that just doesn't interest me. By all accounts, this game is incredible. Some of my closest friends are eating it up, just absolutely loving it. And, so some of the devs apparently were left out of the credits, though. Like, people who put in a considerable amount of time and work and energy into this game were left out of the credits. And it was not an accidental omission. It was intentional. That was my first thought when I read the headline. I was like, oh, it had to have been an accident. I bet they'll fix it. But they doubled down. And so what actually happened is there are some devs out there who, I mean, they didn't even know they were going to be omitted. They didn't have like a heads up or anything like that. They just saw the credits roll and were like, where am I? I should be in that section. They put in like 10, 11 months of work, dev time into this game. Their work is in the game. They can see it and point to it and say, that was me. I did that. But they're left out of the credits. What actually ended up happening was that the studio has a policy, apparently. They have a policy that you have to work for 25%, at least 25% of the total dev time of the game in order to be included in the credits. Now, Dread took a considerable amount of time, about 4 years by all accounts, to start to finish on that project. Now, there are some people who came in and worked the last 11 months, almost an entire year, 11 months, tirelessly on this game, and have some really good work in the game. They're left out of the credits, and they are upset about it. And the reason they're upset about it, if you don't know this, in the gaming industry, this is actually a big deal if you're trying to get a job somewhere else. They're going to ask you, on what games are you credited for your work? Like, on what games did you do enough work that you're credited in the final credits? You know what I'm saying? That's like an accolade. That's something you put on a resume if you want to go out there and get a job at a different studio developing a different game. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I think that's absolute dog meat. Like, that's absolutely stupid. Can you imagine you're the guy or the woman that builds the entire, like, an entire, like, section of the map? You design it, how it's going to flow. Maybe you're one of the writers for the story, and you're working on the early project. It's like, all right, well, we know the story. You move on to another project. You wrote the whole story for Dread, and you don't get any credit. You know what I mean? It's like, well, where does this cap off? Did you create one of the main weapons of the game? Did you create and design multiple bosses, but you're only there for 9 months because you got a great job offer and you don't get any credit? That's just... It's stupid. It's almost like they're trying to hold the devs hostage. It's like, don't leave. You have to hit that time requirement, or else you didn't even help.
Yeah. Would that incentivize you to do your work more slowly if you're trying to hit the 25% mark? Like, oh,
I mean, I don't know.
I can't get this done too quick.
Or you just don't take the job because you're looking at the timeline of like, when is this thing launching? Hold on, when is it launching? Because I don't know if I'm gonna get my race. My ratio, it is just weird. It is bizarre. It seems very petty. Like, oh, you didn't hit your 25%. You helped out on our project. My work made that company money. Put me on the damn credits. That's, I mean, right. I'm on the Anthem credits as an EA game changer. And you can't give the guy that created the plasma cannon, you know, rights on Dread? Yeah. No wonder everyone was emulating the game and
that's right.
and pirating it.
That was a big deal, apparently.
Now I don't blame them.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even know that was like a thing in the dev world. That was complete news to me that there were even policies like that in existence. I just assumed if you worked on a game, you're in the credits. I didn't know there was like a threshold, especially one that high. I feel like it's a really steep threshold, 25%. Of the total dev time, because a lot can happen in that amount of time.
I mean, maybe you can also explain that, obviously, in the job interviews. Like, put Metroid Dread, and then if they're like, well, we don't see you on there, and be like, I was robbed! I should be on there! I created this cannon!
Right, I'm sure you can still put it on a resume, but...
Honestly, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give everyone who's listening to this podcast life advice right now. If you work at a company... They will take advantage of you. They will not give you raises and accolades, even if you do your stuff. They're going to milk you. And the best thing you can do is jump around from company to company and work your way up. You're going to make more money being a mercenary in the industry than staying put, because very, very rarely do you get rewarded for loyalty. But the other thing, too, is if you're someone who is working on Metroid Dread, take whatever information you can legally to prove that you did that stuff, you know, back it up. If you are someone who wrote code for something that saved the company millions of dollars, prove it. Be able to prove that you're the person that made that and cover your ass so that if they do, you know, turn you down for a promotion or you are asking for a raise, you can say, right here, buddy, I've got my card, I've got the proof, this is me, I did this, I made you money, now give me a raise or I'm getting the hell out of here. You know what I mean? And I think it's important to be able to protect yourself in the workplace, because obviously you can put in 11 months and get shafted. It's right. It's pretty sad.
It probably varies, you know, from industry to industry. I think some industries might favor loyalty a little bit more, but it feels like, I don't know, maybe this is just a Nintendo thing too. I don't know. But it's technically, it's not, I don't know, it's not Nintendo, big Nintendo. It's one of their studios that they own that developed Dread. I don't know. We can just kind of spitball, you know, make assumptions about it. But at the end of the day, don't really know the details. But I just thought it was worth mentioning. I think I would be upset if I worked on something for 11 months and didn't have my name on it. I'd be upset.
Oh, 100%. It would just feel like, I don't know. Are people looking at the credits? I guess, do you know what? In that industry, it doesn't matter. Can you imagine filming a movie and you're just like not in it? You're like one of the main actors. Like truly, it's just like, yeah, he wasn't in the movie. Yeah, I was. You go on the IMDb and it's just like, Will Ferrell was not in that movie. It's like, he's the Anchorman in the Anchorman movie. You know what? It's just weird.
25% of the screen time though, you know?
Yeah. Let's move on to PlayStation 5. Apparently just broke the Nintendo Switch record.
Yeah, so Sony, for consecutive months of top-selling hardware. So Sony passed Nintendo's record of 33 months. So that's PS5s and PS4s. Which is, I thought that was interesting that Sony now holds that accolade, I guess, to be the most sold hardware for X consecutive months. I didn't even know that was something people competed for, but it was apparently newsworthy this week. Is that because Sony's gaining more traction, or is that because Nintendo is losing traction, or a combination of the two? What factors would play into that?
I mean, I don't know, because like, it doesn't feel like PlayStation has the greatest lineup yet, personally. Mm-hmm. And so when more PlayStation games come out, I think those PS5 users will be happy. But I'm wondering, are those sales inflated as well by scalpers? Like, people are just buying, like, so many PlayStations. Maybe there's some hoarding situations out there where, you know, one person has five of them and that's inflating the sales a little bit. Because I know people are still having some issues getting them. But, like, what has Nintendo made recently that's like, I gotta get a Switch? I have to get a Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm. There was Animal Crossing. Most of the diehards who were going to buy Dread already had a Switch.
A Switch. Exactly, yeah. People aren't going out and buying a new Switch for Dread. Maybe the OLED, like the new one or whatever. Mm-hmm. I could see that for sure. But there's also people like me that I'm looking at the OLED and I'm like, or OLED or whatever you want to call it. It's like, I don't need an upgrade. I'm fine with the one I have. I don't even use the one I have that much, that often.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Nintendo, put out a Mario Kart, put out a Mario Party, put out something else. And like even the games they have released recently that are Mario focused, like it was Mario Golf. It was the most watered down Mario Golf. Like it felt soulless to me. I don't know. Maybe other people disagree. But it was almost like they made it more PGA style. Like just not as magic. Mario
right,
magic.
Playful,
you know, Donkey Kong's not cranking a shot one hand right. And it's got a rainbow. There's still some of that stuff, but you used to be able to put like backspin and like top spin and it would like burn and like you could do like some kind of cheesy stuff to spice up the gameplay, but this one is just it wasn't as good. And so what are you putting out that's drawing everybody in? Nothing. There hasn't been a Mario Kart in ages, and Smash, bro, I know people love Smash. They keep releasing new characters and stuff, but that's cool. You can't even play the damn game online. The servers are so bad that it's like, are you having people over during the pandemic to play Smash on your couch? No, you're playing it online and having a terrible experience. So it's like, I can't imagine that is a big seller anymore either. If you could have all the buddies over, sure, maybe that's different. But they got to get with the times. They got to get with the times. And they got to, I don't know, start putting out some of their big hits more rapidly.
I just want to know, where are all these PS5s go? I still know people who are still trying to get their hands on a PS5. Where are all these things going? Yeah. They just keep stockpiling in somebody's basement?
I don't know. Like, I still don't have one, but I haven't really tried to get one yet. I think I could probably get one if I tried.
How many PS5s are just what are they playing? Somewhere?
Like what is the big PS5 game right now that you gotta have?
Is it just Horizon, you know?
Is it just a new thing? Is it like, well, I can't afford a PlayStation, or sorry, I can't afford a PC right now. I'm going to get a new console because they are better frame rate and stuff. I don't know. And like the thing is too that I'm surprised is it's not Xbox saying this. And I understand that Xbox maybe doesn't have any great exclusives right now. You know, Halo Infinite isn't out. But, like, the Xbox Game Pass, I just thought that that would sway people a little bit more.
It's a killer deal.
I guess you can do it on PC. But...
Yeah. Even Destiny's now on the PC Game Pass.
Yeah. I guess it's just, like...
Back 4 Blood. I'll throw that up there. If you guys have not played Back 4 Blood yet and you've got Game Pass, freaking pick it up. That game
It's great.
That game is worth $60, let alone being free. It's so fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this whole console launch, and it's been like a year, it feels like. It feels like it's been forever. Just like not very many hype games coming out. Lots of delays. God of War, still ages away, I'm sure. And I'm just in my own little PC bubble playing anime games, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I need a console right now.
Everything I play is on PC except for Destiny. I mean, it is on PC, but I stream it on PS5, but everything else I play is on PC right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, another thing this week, by the way, just because we mentioned Game Pass, a game that we had spoken about previously on the show, Outriders, went free to play on Game Pass this week too. So if you haven't played Outriders, it's a really good game. Just it'll probably take you 30 hours or so if you played it through to completion, the storyline. And then if you really enjoyed it, you can, after that, there's the whole end game grind, these expeditions you can do, grinding out legendary armor sets and all that business. I got my money's worth out of it playing it at full price, but picking it up for free for sure is a no-brainer if you just wanted to fill some time. Just thought I'd let you in on that.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't make it all the way through Outriders, but for free, Outriders is a good game. Like for sure, I would have paid money for Outriders, and I still had like a pretty good time. But they've made a lot of changes since launch too. You might just not hear about it because people aren't covering it. But they have made changes and balance changes and updates and fixed animations and
more builds are viable. Tons of stuff. Yeah, lots of stuff.
I just wish Anthem. I wish Anthem could come back.
Yeah, that was.
I wish they would have nailed it. Like I wish they would have just remade it or did something, because it's just, and like all that tech from all, like building the flying javelins, it's just gone. Like, are they gonna repurpose
it's just
that
sitting
I don't
in
know.
A folder file somewhere?
Yeah, it's sad. Actually, funny, I don't know why this jogged my memory. Did you see that screenshot that was like modded Destiny? There's like a rumor that people are working on doing a modded Destiny of some sort.
Was that a real post or was it a troll post?
That's the thing. Is like, is it true? Are they actually doing a modded Destiny? Because I mean, I've seen some stuff on older games where they're going in and, I mean, look at Skyrim, but that has tools, you know, that you can get very easy access to mod the game. Mm-hmm. Destiny, you would essentially be, you know, reverse engineering trying to do something like that. So I'm not sure about that one. Could be kind of fun. Go back to play some Destiny 1. That would be kind of cool if Destiny 1 maps ported into Destiny 2.
I should clarify, by the way. Chat seems confused. I did not clarify. I meant Outriders is on Xbox Game Pass on PC now. Yes, it was on the console Game Pass at launch. Mm. But it's on PC now, too. So if you wanted to play it on PC. Sorry, I didn't clarify.
Let's jump on really quickly with Twitch and Facebook. So Twitch, if you guys don't remember, they deleted the creative section for some reason. They're like, yeah, it doesn't have to do with gaming, so we don't want it on our platform.
Then they had a hot art one.
Yeah, art, screw you. And then they had a hot tub and they had a beach. They have everything else. But it's like, you want to be creative and do art? Get the hell off of our platform. And now they're bringing it back because they realize, wow, a lot of people like that. And why wouldn't we have it? It's a live stream. And that's the thing, too, is like they've got cooking.
I know.
You can film yourself in the kitchen live streaming. It's a live streaming platform. It's not a gaming platform, or at least it shouldn't be, especially with all the stuff that goes on there now. So why wouldn't you have creative? You should have music, creative, fitness. If you want to live stream yourself doing a spin class for people to watch, do it. Like, get creative out there. Literally, get creative.
I see what you did there. That was pretty good.
Right? So I know that a lot of people are really happy about that. And I mean, imagine if your directory that you've been working on, because some of them did, you know, artists are putting in the time, they're doing Photoshop, doing tons of stuff, and then their directory gets deleted. Yeah. Like, that's career-ending decision.
I think of Young Khan. He's one of the best emote artists in the Destiny community, yes, and beyond. And he always live-streamed his emote art sessions where he's making emotes for people. He always live-streamed those in a creative directory. So if that's coming back, that's good for him. For him, at least, people like that.
Yeah. And I get, like, maybe there was some body painting that people were complaining about, and I feel like that was one of the trigger points. There was a lot of body painting going on, but it's like, come on, man. Look at what the hot tubs were doing. Look at all this. Like, you can go into the just chatting still, and it's probably more sexual than a... There's still farting going on, let's just say. they're not getting caught. So if you want to body paint, do your thing. Bro, there's no avoiding the horny gamers out. Like, they're going to find something out there. There's going to be a yoga one. They're going to find whatever they want to watch. And if they, you know, they want to see some boba and see some body paint, at least they're getting an art lesson during it.
Right.
At least they're getting somewhat cultured, those heathens.
Their parents monitoring their devices aren't going to bat an eye when they see Twitch on there. So
exactly,
that's where they're gonna go to try to find, you know.
But speaking of, I don't know, that's not a good segue. Facebook potentially rebranding? Question mark. What? Why?
How's it really interesting? So The Verge reported on this. Was it today or yesterday? I don't know. I feel like it was early this morning. This story broke. But apparently, there's some pretty serious insider info, some pretty credible info, that Facebook is looking to completely rebrand themselves, which would be a massive endeavor. I mean, they are a global powerhouse. Like, they are the YouTube of the East. There's a lot of countries out East that there's no YouTube. YouTube is not out there. So the VOD content like that gets uploaded to Facebook instead. Just really, really interesting. I learned that very recently. But that would be a massive endeavor to completely rebrand Facebook. And what would be the motivating factors? Maybe just all the bad press they've had lately? I don't know.
But, like, you're completely changing your brand name of Facebook that's been around since we were in grade, what, four? What? Grade five? I don't know how old we were.
I'm old.
Well, no, you're not that much old. I just don't remember exactly. Maybe it was like junior high, high school. But, like, it's been around for ages because I'm turning into an ancient one myself. I'm closing in on 30 myself. And it's like, I understand maybe changing the image or, like, the logo. Like, look at Instagram. Instagram used to have that, like, brown and white, like, old Polaroid. And now it's, like, a colorful. You know, I get it. They changed up the image, and I still know that that's Instagram. But what if it goes from Facebook to a completely different name, different logo? People are going to be like, what the hell is this on my phone? All my old family members are going to be like, where am I going to rage about politics now? And spread misinformation. It's weird. It's definitely a weird decision because of how much money you have to put into branding and getting that brand recognition already. And so to change it is just like, holy cow, you're throwing away a lot of goodwill. And I mean, maybe it is. Maybe the brand image is tarnished enough and people don't take it seriously enough. But one of the rumors is that Facebook's getting into, like, the metaverse and NFT type stuff, which, I mean, maybe you can have, like, a little NFT profile picture. I'm very like, I feel like NFTs are snake oil.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there's some tech usages that could be interesting, but I swear, half the stuff on NFTs is just like scam and Ponzi schemes. It's like, buy our art, and then we make a bunch of money, and then you're going to hopefully have a sucker buy it off of you. A lot of them really just seem like a Ponzi scheme type thing. But the ones that are cool, like they're apparently they're doing stuff with NFTs where you can track, like if there was one little piece of a plane or one piece of a pipeline, they would be able to track it using NFT technology, where that piece is going, what plane, you know, what defects, you know, all these different things. Like I understand that side of it and where that could be cool, but a lot of it just seems a little sus. It truly does seem sus. And it seems like people are buying into something that it's a little risky business. It's speculative more than anything, in my opinion. People think it's going up. I know people that have made a bunch of money off of it. I get it. But just be careful. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm the guy saying, don't buy NFTs. And then you could have been a millionaire. So obviously don't trust me. But for me, that's my big argument. Is like, yes, I could buy a bunch of NFTs and they could make me a bunch of money. And I get that. But I also, hypothetically, I could start a McDonald's franchise and I could make a bunch of money off of it. But I can't be mad that I don't own the restaurant and I don't make that money. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't feel confident in it and I don't pull that trigger, I can't be mad about the what if.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, if the risk tolerance is too high for me, you can't be upset about the money you didn't make, because it's like, do I want to spend 15 grand on a piece of art that, like, I don't know if it'll ever go up or why anyone would actually want to do it? And it just seems kind of like, it kind of seems like, well, it's like money laundering.
It's like, money
see
moving.
This art?
Yeah.
This is $50 million. Why? Because I'm selling it for $50 million. And then people buy it and it's like, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of people buying $1 million Bored Apes screenshots for a lot of money. Like, it's kind of wild. I didn't know how popular it is.
Yeah, with Facebook taking on all that stuff, really diversifying their brand, and this rebrand thing, I go back to a couple weeks ago when we had this whole Facebook whistleblower thing that shook down, which isn't directly related to gaming per se, but it's related to the topic. But one of the things that this employee at Facebook kind of outed, a detail about Facebook and how it runs, is that Zuck is like 51% and everyone else is the 49%. So anything that happens substantially with that company of that magnitude does not happen without him specifically wanting it. So this could even be a thing where, like, maybe Zuck has hated the name Facebook since since its inception. And now he's like, it just doesn't apply to what we're doing. And in his mind, he wants it to be called something else. And 49% are saying, no, keep it. All right. It ain't broke. Don't fix it. And he's like, nah, we're changing it. You know, it could just be a Zuck thing. You never know.
He's a lizard man. He does what he wants. He smokes meats. Have you seen him smoking meats? Have you seen
that video?
He's smoking meats. He could do whatever the hell he wants. I've seen him. He can ride on the back of a dolphin. He can surf with an American flag. Like, the guy, he's a jack of all trades. And so if he wants to change the name of a multi-billion dollar corporation just because he wants to, Zuck can do whatever the fuck. Zuck can do whatever the fuck he wants to do, right? I don't know. It's just so weird, especially because it's like a household name at this point.
It's just
so
recognizable.
It's Facebook. And they're like, oh, by the way, now we're going to be called, like, what? What are they going to call it?
I don't know.
Chat.
Yeah,
throw us some names. Throw us some names.
I want to see some suggestions. What's Facebook's next name?
I just can't even think about it. Anyways, that's pretty much it for the main topics. Let's jump into some of the chat questions and things like that. This is a little bit shorter because we don't have Kakis interrupting us, who's actually very nice. We got through all the topics so quickly within the hour. Incredible. But I do miss him yelling at me a little bit. Like, I do kind of miss him.
A lot of people enjoy the back and forths with Kakis. It's all good.
Yeah. Let's jump on with some of the questions. But if you haven't, make sure to follow the podcast. We do this podcast every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We talk about all things gaming and things related to gaming. We also have an amazing sponsor, Advanced GG. If you want to get yourself an amazing energy drink, use advanced.gg and go to code MTASHED. RGH. Jesus Christ, sorry. That's a bad habit. Go to advanced.gg and use code RGH for 10% off. Don't use code MTASHED or else they'll slap you. And you can get 10% off. Amazing, amazing product. That Call of Duty anti-cheat didn't last long, did it? Wait, what? Is it not working?
It hasn't even come out yet.
I haven't seen anything with that. Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it. Why are Destiny players mad? I just got here. The pricing of the new DLC content and the dungeons and things that are coming.
They never had. That's the short answer. Dungeons were never monetized on their own before now, but moving forward, they will be. If you want a dungeon, you got to pay for it unless you buy a deluxe edition at the beginning of the year. That's the short answer. Taser face.
How?
That's great. Taser face.
Have you heard about Microsoft working with a dev to make an MMO in the cloud? I have not heard about an MMO. No, I haven't. I haven't heard about that. I've heard that there is a rumor that there's going to be a full-on VR MMO, and there's some devs working on that. But it's just an inkling that I've heard. A full-on VR MMO. Which would be an interesting thing. Like, are we talking Sword Art Online? I feel like I would get so nauseated long-term playing that. And, like, my face in that mask all day sweating? I don't know. And VR, cool, for sure. Would it be that much better of an experience than if I just played it on my PC on the monitor? And I'm sure you'd probably have both functionality. Like, if you had a VR headset, you can do that. But I've just never seen VR tech that's actually good. It's always like, it's kind of like janky. It's like, pick up the bottle and it's like, all right, use item. And it just looks pretty trash all the time.
We have a VR headset. And some of the games that I play with my friends in the evenings have VR capabilities. Every now and then I'll use it. I cannot do it for very long. I don't know if this is just me. Maybe it's me being a 33-year-old man. Maybe it's my equilibrium. I don't know what it is. After a while, I gotta take it off, and I gotta go back to my PC because I get like lightheaded. It's almost nauseating after a while. Where you're like, okay, I gotta see what's real for a minute.
So. Yeah, fair. Ryan, favorite games from like the 90s? Like, let's say Super Nintendo era. And so let's give me a Super Nintendo era and N64 era.
Okay, so A Link to the Past was one of the first games I dove into majorly. But also, I grew up with a Sega Genesis as well. The Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis went hand in hand. So I played Sonic and Knuckles was huge for me. Played tons of Sonic and Knuckles. Joe and Mac. I don't know if this is reaching way back, though. I don't know if anybody in chat remember Joe and Mac. What a great freaking game. And then for N64, a lot of Mario Kart 64 was great. Shoot. I played a bunch of Banjo-Kazooie. Loved that game. And then one more I'll add was the... Was it just called Donkey Kong 64? I don't know what it...
Yeah. Like you can be Lanky Kong and Chunky. Yeah, man. So good. You know what? Banjo is one of the games that Kat, she can rap it. Like, she is a banjo fiend. It's like her only game she played. She turned it on one day and she's won the fifth world in like an hour. I was like, what the hell is going on here? She's doing all these little tricks and speedrun strats. I'm like, what the hell?
It was like one of the last worlds in the game that you unlocked where you could go to the witch doctor person and then turn into the bee and fly around. I just did. I spent hours as a kid just flying around as a bee just because I could.
when life was simpler. I loved Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars, one of my favorite turn-based games.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love that. Any of the Final Fantasy games, absolute win for me. And then one of my favorite, though, Mega Man 7. God damn. Mega Man 7. So good. And then the N64, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say one of my most played games, 1080 Snowboard.
One of the launch games, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got it with it, and I played it so much. I unlocked the ice surfer. There was like the penguin board, like all of this. I loved it. And I think it's just because we didn't have a lot of games. But one of the first games I did buy was Ocarina of Time gold cartridge with my own money. I saved up and I went to the store and bought it, and it was amazing.
I used to go I'd ask my mom if I could tag along because we had just gotten a super Walmart in our town, and I was like, can I tag along when you go get groceries? She's like, yeah, sure. And I just go the whole time she's grocery shopping, I'd go straight back to the electronics section, I'd grab the Ocarina of Time guidebook right off of the shelf, and I'd just sit on the floor and I'd be like, when I get home, I need to know where these heart pieces are, you know, all the secrets. And that's what I would do.
You scammer, you stole. That's no a criminal activity. They didn't catch me, so it's not a crime. Okay.
Like, boy, what you doing? I was like, my mom's spending over $100 on groceries right now. And they're like, carry on.
See, guys, listen. Everyone thinks TV is so nice. He's just a mastermind. He's getting away with everything. He can't keep getting away with this. Do you know what? Honestly, the GameCube, I feel like, was such an underrated console. Metroid. All the Mario games were bangers. Prime. Like, there were so many good games.
Metal Gear that they made for GameCube with... it was the remake with Liquid Snake. Did you play that one? I know life the crap out of that game, dude. Mm. Was
Resident Evil 4 pretty good? Like, there's so many good games on GameCube. Shadowrun for the Sega Genesis was awesome.
Someone asked what our favorite Advanced JG flavors were. For me, I don't know. Don't take any offense to this, Kek. Mike, because Cactus' flavor, I drink his and Frostbolt's.
You like the tang. Like the sour. You like the sour.
Thing is, and it's not because I've had yours before and it was really good, but GamerSup sent me like 3 tubs of their mango flavor when it came out. I'm not even through them yet because it lasts for so long. So I just haven't gone out of my way to buy another mango flavor of something else since then.
That's okay. I love, I like the, I like cactuses. I really like some of the energy flavors though, because they're so tasty. Like the fruit punch, like the Dream Team fruit punch is so damn good. It's so simple and so good. And the strawberry shortcake is fire. Like I'm addicted, but I'll tell you, do you know who I think has the best advanced flavor?
Danielle, I was like,
Travel Danielle's strawberry banana. Holy God, that is good. The strawberry banana is so good. I took the first sip and I was like, God damn it. That's good. Like, that is so good. Apparently the M-Tash Mango Splash is in the 1 or 2 slot all the time for purchases. And it gets reordered a lot because if you like mango, I think you love it. It is good, but there's something about the strawberry banana. Once more people get on that train, the throne, the crown, it's gone. She's going to have it. Like, there's no way. So, chat, if you use code RGH, get 10% off. Try the strawberry banana. You won't be let down. Have you tried Azucross's nasty flavor? I did. I don't know what it is. It's a kind of watermelon-y to me, but it's not watermelon. I don't know.
My wife recently ordered Gamer Subs did a line called Guacamole Gamer Farts. They actually named it that. But she loves the flavor. It's not that.
And was it good?
It's like a troll name. You know, it's kind of like nasty. That's what I thought of it. I think, I don't know what it is. It's like a melon thing. I don't know. But she loves it. But I haven't tried it yet because I'm like, I'm not going to drink something named Guacamole Gamer Farts.
She's kinky, bro. Whoa. Are you wearing a Destiny hoodie? No, I'm not. This is it's a Logitech. It's actually a Logitech hoodie. They just sent it to me the other day. There's a picture of me modeling it on my Instagram with my big dumpy on the front step. So
is check that. Where that came from on your fan house?
Soon. Incoming.
What am I saying? Incoming. On? First was an old fashioned that I made with a monkey shoulder whiskey. Second was Rabbit Hole, Kentucky Straight. Bow.
I'm having water. Hydrated. Getting hydrated.
There's water in whiskey.
Yeah, sure. Do you do it ice cubes or a whiskey stone or anything?
Well, it depends
or
what I'm making.
Warm. Like a warm one.
Some kinds of drinks are intentionally diluted. Like an old fashioned does have ice in it. Otherwise, they end up being a little too on the sweet side. But the short answer is it depends. One of my favorite cocktails recently is called a penicillin. It's super tasty. But what you do is you actually take fresh ginger root. I've got ginger root in the fridge. And you slice it up, put it in the bottom of a cup, and you use like a kind of like mortar and pestle, you know, where you grind it up in the bottom of the cup. You call it muddling. And then you do a honey syrup and whiskey and lemon juice. It's really freaking delicious. So ginger, honey, whiskey.
I'm sold on honey syrup. Do you use honey often? Like just throw
not
honey
just
in a drink often,
make,
or
so not just
I've never
itself,
I've never
you
really
do
done
like
it.
A honey syrup where you take honey and water and you combine them, you cook it down, and then let it cool, put it in a container. Otherwise, if you just use regular honey, like honey doesn't mix well. It's thick, sticky.
True.
Some of it will stick to the sides of the cup, so you don't get a lot of consistency because your measurement is off that way because some of it stays in the cup when you pour it. So cook it down into a syrup.
True. Okay, I'm done. I'm doing it right now. We're going to call that the end of the episode. Actually, one more quick question. What do you think about freelance trials this weekend?
Bro, how much time do you have?
let's just chat about it quick.
I'm
like that question.
I'm excited to play it. A lot of people seem to forget, I'm a solo player. I play, up until recently when Hovi got back into Destiny, for the past like 2 to 3 years, I've played almost exclusively by myself in Destiny. Almost exclusively. I would say over 90% of my time spent in Destiny is me by myself. So, freelance playlist coming around, I'm going to have some fun jumping in there and playing it. But the question is it good for the, player base? I don't think it's good for trials. Trials is supposed to be teams against teams, and I feel like solo players continuing to ask and push for more and more and more out of trials is starting to get to the point where we want to cater to the solo players and let them have access to trials and have access to trials loot, but we also don't want to dilute the player pool to the point where it ruins it for the people who know Trials of Osiris as a team-based experience. And so I'm okay with rewarding solo players and giving them things and throwing them a bone because I'm a solo player most of the time. I'm totally okay with that, but never at the expense of the health of an activity. And I think we're starting to creep into that.
I guess I didn't even think about that because like if you're queuing solo and you're just trying to bash your head against it until you win, you're not going on LFG and finding a team. You know, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. They're going to be completely separating that play.
Yeah, here's their Charles population.
That
right?
playlist.
Now we're going to start breaking them down based on where they're at in their card. Now we're going to start breaking them down based off of whether or not they're flawless. Now we're going to break them down based off of what platform they're on, are they PC or are they on the console. Now we're going to break it down even further based on are they solo or are they with a team. And now we started with one community, one player pool. It's now all these different player pools. And who's matching who depends on one, two, three, four different criteria. That's not great for the player base. And right. and those changes will be felt. And so if you are a solo player and you think this is my holy grail, this freelance playlist, I've got a rude awakening for you. Good luck. Good luck. With things like lobby bouncing especially existing and the way that segmenting the player pool up that many times, diluting that player pool that many times, good luck having a consistent and enjoyable experience with Trials of Osiris. I mean, obviously, we'll wait. We'll see. We'll wait and we'll see for sure. And if I got to eat words, I'll eat words. It's totally fine. But that's where I'm at with it. I don't want to keep breaking up the player pool.
Fair. We just got a one-year resub. Mi homie.
You're welcome.
A one-year resub. Thank you so much. We also got some donations. Ardaz was talking about Control. Ryan loved Great Control. Slucifer got to your question about the hoodie. Thanks for the donation. We got a bunch of donations. Unfortunately, depending on when they came in the chat, they just disappear and there's no way to track them. It's really frustrating. And so when we're doing the podcast, unless we shout it out right when it happens, like I think Gorgonak had a donation. We saw that. We saw Chris donated twice. Amazing. We appreciate it. But sometimes we miss them and YouTube is terrible about allowing us to see what they were after the fact. I'd love to read them all off at the end of the episode. If you donated... If you became a member or continue to be a member, we appreciate it. You pay for the third editor that we now have. It seems to be awesome. Really liking stuff so far. You guys keep the channel alive, and we really, really appreciate it. But that's going to be pretty much it. We do this podcast every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We talk about all things gaming. Be here or be square or something like that.
I'm True Vanguard.
I'm M-Tashed. Catch you later, gamers.